ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन सीरीज ऑन द 12th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। टुडे इज द लास्ट एपिसोड ऑफ द 12th कैंटो एंड टुडे इज द लास्ट एपिसोड ऑफ द एंटायर भागवत प्रवाह सीरीज ऑल्सो। सो वी विल डिस्कस द लास्ट थ्री चैप्टर्स ऑफ दिस लास्ट कैंटो भागवतम एंड वी विल कंक्लूड द कोर्स। इन द प्रीवियस एपिसोड वी हैव सीन फ्रॉम 12th कैंटो 6th चैप्टर टिल द 10th चैप्टर द स्टोरी ऑफ मार्कंडेय ऋषि एंड ऑल्सो द स्टोरी ऑफ वैदिक डिविजन। सो इन द 11th चैप्टर Suta Goswami describes the glories of the Supreme Lord and the vibhutis of the Supreme Lord. And in the 12th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami gives a summary of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. He very quickly reviews all the main topics of each of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the 13th chapter, he describes the glories of this transcendental scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will discuss these three chapters today. In the 11th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes the vibhutis of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Mahapurusha. So the Kaustubha gem that the Lord wears on his chest, that represents the pure spirit soul. And the Srivatsa mark manifests the glorious effulgence of that Kaustubha gem. And the flower garland that the Lord wears represents the material energy of the Lord. And the yellow garment that he wears represents the Vedic meters of various shlokas, and the sacred thread that he wears represents the spiritual syllable Omkara. So in this way, all the paraphernalia and the limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead represent some sacred things. So in this way, our Suta Goswami describes the vibhutis of the Lord and the various paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord, and later he glorifies the Lord and emphasizes on worshipping that Supreme Lord. So he says in the 25th shloka, Sri Krishna Krishna Sakhavrishni Rishabhava Nidruk Rajanya Vamsadhana Napavarga Virya Govinda Gopavanita Vrajabhritya Gita Tirtha Shravaha Shravana Mangalapahi Bhrityan. Even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti offers a similar prayer. Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishni Rishabhava Nidruk. Sri Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all attractive. That's why he is called Sri Krishna. Krishna Sakha. So Krishna's dearest friend Arjuna also is sometimes addressed as Krishna. So Arjuna's another name is Krishna. So Krishna Sakha means Krishna who is the friend of Arjuna, who is also called as Krishna. So Krishna Sakha also refers to Krishna only. So Sri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vrishni Rishabha. Vrishni means this dynasty of Vrishnis. Vrishni Rishabha means Krishna is the best of all Vrishnis. So Sri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vrishni Rishabha, Vanidrik Rajanya Vamsa Dhana Napavarga Virya means Krishna has unlimited powers by which he can subdue the bad kings. Rajanya Vamsha Dahana Anapavarga Virya means there are so many miscreants and bad kings who trouble common people, and Krishna descended to subdue and if needed punish or kill the such miscreants. So that's why this word comes. Then Govinda Gopala Vanita Vraja Bhritya Gita. He is also glorified and praised in transcendental songs sung by the gopis of Vrindavan and also gopas of Vrindavan. Gopa Vanita Vraja Bhritya Gita. So the Madhurya gopis of Vrindavan and also the Vatsalya gopis of Vrindavan, they glorify Krishna in their respective moods, and that's why he is also called Govinda. He gives pleasure to cows and he is also the controller of senses. Govinda Gopa Vanita Vraja Bhritya Gita. Next, Tirtha Shravaha Shravana Mangala Pahi Bhrityan. Shravana Mangala, Tirtha Shrava. By Krishna's descriptions or the descriptions of Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, leela, they are like holy places of pilgrimage. Tirtha shrava, shravana mangala, and it brings great auspiciousness to us by hearing about Krishna's qualities. And pahi bhrityan, please, we surrender unto you. We are your servants, so please protect us. So in this way, Suta Goswami offers this prayer to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And also in this chapter, Suta Goswami describes the personal features and associates of Sun God. So after this, Suta Goswami summarizes all the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th chapter of this 12th canto. So he first says, Namo dharmaya mahate namaha krishnaya vedhase brahmanebhyo namaskritya dharman vakshe sanatanan. Namo dharmaya mahate, I offer obeisances unto that mahat dharma, the greatest dharma is what? Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaje. The supreme duty of the entire humanity is to render pure bhakti unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, namo dharmaya mahate. So, offer obeisances, he is offering obeisances to the process of devotional service, process of bhakti yoga, that is very vividly and repeatedly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, namo dharmaya mahate, namaha krishnaya vedhase. So, he is offering obeisances to Krishna, who is the object of bhakti. Next, brahmanebhyo namaskritya, he is also offering obeisances to all brahmanas. So, here Suta Goswami is offering obeisances to bhakti, bhakta and bhagavan, all three. So, bhakti, the process of devotional service, bhagavan, Krishna and devotees, means bhaktas or brahmanas. So, dharman vakshe sanatanan, I shall describe the principles of dharma now, offering obeisances to these three categories. Then he says in the second shloka, etadvah kathitam vipra vishnos charitam adbhutam bhavadbhir yad aham prishto naranam purushochitam etadvah kathitam vipra. So, hearing the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu is the most suitable engagement for the entire humanity. So, Vishnu's charitam adbhutam, the narrations of the Supreme Lord Vishnu are adbhuta. They are extremely wonderful. So, by hearing them, bhavadbhirya aham prushto narayanam purushochitam, purusha uchitam. The uchita means the most suitable and relevant activity for the entire humanity is to hear the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. In the third shloka, he says that those pastimes of the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna are very wonderfully described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he describes in the third shloka, Atra sankirtitah sakshat sarva papaharo harihi narayano hrishikesho bhagavan satvatam patihi. Atra sankirtitah sakshat, atra means in this book. In this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sankirtitaha, it's repeatedly glorified. What? Sakshat Sarva Papa Haro Hari. So, in this book, the Supreme Lord Hari is glorified repeatedly. And who? What is the nature of that Hari? Sarva Papa Haro Hari. Hari can steal all our sinful proclivities. That's why he's called Sarva Papa Haro Hari. And Narayano, Hrishikesho, he is also called Narayana. And he is also called Hrishikesha, master of all senses. Bhagavan, he is also endowed with all six opulences. Satvatampati, he is also called the Lord or master of all satvatas, all great devotees. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is basically the description of the qualities and activities of the Supreme Lord Krishna and in his various forms. So, we have seen in the Padma Purana also. Padau yadiyau prathama dvitiyau tritiyaturyau kathitau yaduru nabhistatha panchama evashashto bhujantaram dor yugalam tathanyau kanthastu rajan navamo yadiyau mukharavindam dashamah prafullam ekadasho yasya lalatapattam shiropitudva dasha eva bhati. Padau yadiyo prathama dvitiyo. Now, after reciting these three shlokas, 1, 2, 3, first three shlokas of the 12th chapter, Suta Goswami is about to give a quick summary of all the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Padma Puran says, Pado Yadiyo Prathama Dvitiyo. The first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam represent the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Tritiya Turyo Kathito Yaduru. Fourth and third and fourth cantos represent the thighs of Krishna. And fifth one, that is Nabhis Tatha Panchama Eva. The fifth canto is represented by the navel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Then Shashto Bhujantaram. So the sixth canto is the chest of Krishna. Dor Yugalam Tatha Anyo. The next two cantos, seventh and eighth cantos, are the two hands of Krishna. Kanthastu Rajan Navamo Yadiyo. The neck is the ninth canto of Krishna. And Mukharavindam Dashamaha Prafullam. The beautiful, blossoming, smiling face of Krishna is the tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Ekadasho Yasya Lalatapattam, forehead represents the 11th canto. And Shiropitu Dvadasha Eva Bhati, the head, represents the 12th canto. So in this way, when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto till 12th canto, we are basically taking darshan of the Supreme Lord Krishna's form from his lotus feet to his lotus face. So that is the glory of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning till end, not haphazardly going here and there. Just like we offer aarti to the deity form of the Lord, first we offer that lamp to the lotus feet, and then slowly we come to the navel, and then slowly we gradually progress towards the lotus face. Similarly, Bhagavatam also must be studied from the beginning till end, so gradually. So, Tamadi Devam Karuna Nidhanam Tamalavaranam Suhitavataram Apara Samsara Samudrasetum Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. So, in this shloka, which is also from this Padma Purana, so Tamadi Devam Karuna Nidhanam, that Supreme Lord Krishna is Karuna Nidhanam, he is an ocean of mercy, compassion. Tamalavaranam, he has the complexion of a tree. Bluish tamal tree. Suhita avataram. Suhita avataram. He has descended in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam to cause welfare to the entire humanity. Apara samsara samudra setum. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is like a bridge that can help us cross over this material existence. Right? Apara samsara samudra setum bhajamahe bhagavata swarupam. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. I worship that Supreme Lord Krishna who has appeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Swarupam. So now, Suta Goswami, in this 12th chapter, gives a quick summary of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first canto of Bhagavatam presents the concepts of Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhagavatam. So the first chapter itself, it begins with the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, and Suta Goswami answers those questions by describing the glorious Bhakti Yoga, Savi Pumsam Paro Dharma, and he also describes Krishna as the Supreme Lord, that is Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, and he also presents that Bhagavatam is the representative of the Supreme Lord Krishna in this Kali Yuga. Krishne Sudhamo Pagate Dharma Gnana Divisaha Kalau Nashta Drisham Esha Puran Arko Dhunodhitaha. Means when Krishna went back to his divine abode, he again descended on this earthly planet in the form of this book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, first canto describes the history of Vyasadev and the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, means the story behind the writing of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni is meeting with Vyasadev, and how Narada Muni inspired Vyasadev to write Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, first canto describes the backstories of Pandavas, then Parikshit Maharaj, then Sukadeva Goswami, the disappearance of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and also Bhagavatam, first canto describes the glorious departure of Bhishma Dev, and before that, Kunti Maharani's prayers, and we have seen how Dhritarashtra passed away, and later we have seen the departure of Krishna and the retirement of Pandavas, and we have also seen Parikshit Maharaj's chastising Kali, and he's being cursed by the son of Shamikrishi, Shringi. And then Parikshit Maharaj retires from his active life as a king, and he takes shelter of Sukadeva Goswami and asks him questions. That's how first canto ends. And in the second canto, we have seen a quick description of Ashtanga Yoga. Then we have seen Viratrup meditation. We have seen Super Soul meditation. And we have also seen demigod worship. And after describing all these processes of on the Vedic landscape, Sukadeva Goswami presents that Bhakti Yoga is the supreme spiritual path. And later, Sukadeva Goswami also describes Sarga and Visarga, and he presents the Chitushloki Bhagavatam, and he also describes the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he presents the conversation between Brahma and Narada Muni. So all this we have seen in the second canto. Second canto establishes Krishna Bhakti to be the supreme. And in the third canto, we have seen the creation of this universe. We have also seen the meeting between Vidura and Uddhava, and later meeting between Vidura and Maitreya. And third canto and fourth canto are described by Maitreya to Vidura. And the contents of third canto are Visarga, then Sarga, means the creation of Brahma, creation of this universe and creation of Brahma, and Brahmaji's prayers to the Supreme Lord Garbhodakasaya Vishnu. And after that, Brahmaji's creation begins in the 12th chapter. Brahma creates Avidya Shakti, five features of ignorance. Later, Brahma creates four Kumaras. Then he creates Lord Shiva. Then he creates Vedas and Upavedas and many other sages. And he creates Swayambhumanu and Shatarupa. And Swayambhumanu and Shatarupa had five children, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, and Uttanapada and Priyavrata. The dynasties of these five children are described from the middle of third canto till the middle of fifth canto. And third canto also describes the Vaikuntha Loka and how Jaya and Vijaya have been cursed by the four Kumaras to take birth as demons in this material world. And the third canto also describes the episode of Varahadeva's killing Hiranyaksha. And later third canto describes the household life of Devahuti and Kashyapamuni, Kardamamuni. And later Kardamamuni's perfection is described, and how Kapiladev enlightens Mother Devahuti. That is also described. Teachings of Lord Kapila is very elaborately described in the third canto, and Devahuti's prayers and perfection are described in the last chapter. So these are the contents of third canto. And in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first seven chapters, we have seen the episode of Daksha, Shiva and Parvati. So Daksha insulted Shiva, the enmity between them grew. Actually, Daksha was envious of Shiva. Shiva was not having such inimical feelings towards Daksha. But there was a misunderstanding, and Sati went to Daksha's house, and then she was insulted. She was not welcomed properly. And then she gave up her body there in Daksha's house. And Shiva sent Veerabhadra to kill Daksha. And Daksha was killed. And later, Brahmaji requested Shiva to revive Daksha, and then Shiva revived Daksha. And then Daksha continued his sacrifice, and he begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva also. We have seen that Daksha Yajna episode. And Sati, who left her body, again appeared as Parvati and again married Lord Shiva. So after the episode of Daksha and Shiva, Maitreya Muni describes the episode of Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, at the age of 5, he was insulted by his stepmother Surichi, and he was inspired by his mother Suniti, and he was guided by his guru Narada Muni, and he performs worship of the Supreme Lord Vishnu in Madhuvan, and he attains the darshan of Vishnu and receives a lot of benedictions from Vishnu just within 6 months, and then he is established on the throne. And later Dhruva also fights with the Yakshas at Alakapuri, and then Manu gives him good advice to stop that fight, and finally Dhruva Maharaj goes to the spiritual world on a spiritual airplane, and his mother also goes, Suniti. So we have seen that Dhruva episode, glorious Dhruva episode. In the lineage of Dhruva, there are several other kings like Anga Maharaj, then Vena, then Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj's story is elaborately described in the fourth canto in several chapters. So he's conducting of sacrifices, he's extracting of so many natural resources from Mother Earth, and how he has received teachings from the four Kumaras, and how he retired from his active family life. All this we have seen in the fourth canto. And later, Maitreya Muni describes the story of Prachetas and Prachinabarhi. Prachinabarhi is the father. He was enlightened by Narada Muni through this allegorical story of Puranjan. And later, Prachetas were taught by by Lord Shiva. The song is called Rudra Gita. And then they attained the darshan of the Supreme Lord after 10,000 years, and they offered obeisances and they ruled the kingdom for a while. And again, they retired and they went back to Godhead. So, that we have discussed in the fourth canto. So, this is the lineage of Uttanapada. What is described in the fourth canto is the lineage of Uttanapada. And in the fifth canto, first 15 chapters, the lineage of Priyavrata is described. Priyavrata was another son of Swayambhu Manu. And Priyavrata Maharaj, in Priyavrata Maharaj's lineage, there are many other great devotees. Earlier, Priyavrata Maharaj was like a brahmachari, but Swayambhu Manu requested him to take charge of the kingdom. So he took charge of the kingdom and he had several sons. And Priyavrata Maharaj divided the entire earth, Bhumandala, into seven islands and seven oceans. And he appointed his seven sons as the kings of these seven islands. And also, Priyavrata Maharaj had three other sons who became brahmacharis, and he had three other sons from another wife. So they became the manus for the next three manvantras: Uttama, Tamasa, and Raivata. So after Priyavrata Maharaj, Agnidhra's story is described. He was the ruler of Jambudvipa. Agnidhra's son was Nabhi. He worshipped the Supreme Lord and attained the Lord as his son. The Lord's name was Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev's teachings were described. And after Rishabhadev's teachings, Bharat Maharaj's story is described. Bharat Maharaj's three lives were described as King Bharat, as Dear Bharat, and as Jada Bharat. So Jada Bharat's teachings to Rahugana were also described. So after completing that fifth canto, first half, which is Priyavrata Maharaj's dynasty, Sukadeva Goswami describes the geography of the universe. So he describes the horizontal structure of the universe, the structure of Bhumandala. So how in the middle there is Jambudvipa, in the middle of Jambudvipa there is Sumeru mountain, and Ganges descends from the upper planets onto the top of this Mount Meru and then divides into four paths. Within Jambudvipa there are nine varshas, and there are eight mountain ranges that separate these nine varshas. And the residents of these nine varshas offer prayers to the Supreme Lord in his various expansions. And later the dimensions of other circular ring-shaped islands were also described. And after that, the vertical structure of the Bhumandala vertical structure of the universe was described. So Bhumandala is in the middlemost section or system, planetary system of this universe. And above there are many other lokas: Swaraloka, Bhuvaraloka, Swaraloka, then Janaloka, Maharaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. And below that, there are seven more planetary systems: Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala. So these are the lower planetary systems. And the movements of sun were described. And also there is a description of hellish planets. So that completes the fifth canto. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the stories of Ajamil were described. Ajamil, then Daksha, Daksha's Hamsa Guhya prayers, and Daksha's offense to Narada Muni was described. And the sixth canto also describes the story of Indra's offending Brihaspati and losing all the kingdom. And then Vishwarupa teaches him Narayana Kavacha and reinstates Indra on the throne of heavenly planets. And the Vritrasur story was described. And Vritrasur fights with Indra, and then Indra kills Vritrasur, and Vritrasur goes back to Godhead. And in his past life, Vritrasur was a great king named Chitraketu Maharaj, and he attained the darshan of Lord Sankarshan just within 7 days. And because he criticized Lord Shiva, he was cursed to become a demon by Mother Parvati, and then he becomes Vritrasur. And in the last two chapters of the sixth canto, Sukadeva Goswami also described the story of Diti giving birth to Maruts. In the seventh canto, the glorious description of Prahalad Maharaj was given. So Prahalad Maharaj's story was there in the seventh canto, and then the Supreme Lord appears in the form of Narasimhadev and kills Hiranyakashipu, and Prahalad offers various prayers. And in the last five chapters of the seventh canto, there is a description of Varnashrama Dharma. And in the eighth canto, Sukadeva Goswami presents Manvantara. So the 14 Manvantaras within this day of Brahma are described very briefly by Sukadeva Goswami. In the fourth Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Hari saved Gajendra. In that episode, Sukadeva Goswami elaborates because Parikshit Maharaj requests him like that. In the sixth Manvantara, the Lord also has performed the pastimes of Samudra Manthan, and that Samudra Manthan episode is very elaborately described. And after that, Bali Maharaj story is elaborately described because Bali Maharaj would be the future, he would be the Indra in the future Manvantara. So, Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva story is elaborately described, and the canto ends with the description of Matsyavatar. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, two dynasties are described, Sun dynasty and Moon dynasty. And the popular prominent personalities within the Sun dynasty were Sudyumna, then Sagara Maharaj, then Bhagiratha, then Kalmashapada, he is also called Mitrasaha or Sudasa, then Ikshvaku and Lord Ramachandra and Kusha and Nimi. All these personalities were described in this Sun dynasty. In the Moon dynasty, Pururava story is described, then Yayati story is described, and Vishwamitra story and Jamadagni story is described, and Parashuram's description is also there. And finally, Rantidev story is described. That's the ninth canto. And ninth canto, towards the end, Sukadeva Goswami also sets the scene or sets the mood for the 10th canto to begin by summarizing the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna within just two shlokas. Then in the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami elaborately describes the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Krishna right from his birth. So, his birth in Mathura, then his Vrindavan pastimes of killing so many demons and lifting Govardhan, killing Arishtasur, Vyomasur, Vatsasur, Bakasur, then Putana, Shakatasur, and so many other demons. And Brahmavi Mohana Leela, Govardhan Leela, Venu Gita, then Rasa Panchadhyay, all these pastimes happened within the Vrindavan. And after that, Mathura pastimes are described by Sukadeva Goswami, how Krishna came to Mathura, delivered that washerman and beaver and Kubja, and eventually killed Kamsa, and then installed Ugrasena as the king. And also Krishna defeated Jarasandha 17 times, and he killed Kalayavana, and then he also performed so many pastimes with his queens. The marriages of Krishna are described, his marriage with Rukmini, Satyabhama, Mitravinda, Kalindi, Nagnajiti, Satya, and all these queens, and how he killed Narakasura and then married 16,100 other queens. And later Krishna's pastimes with the Pandavas at Indraprastha and Hastinapur, they were also described. And then Krishna's pastimes with Sudama, and Krishna's sons and grandsons were also described in the 10th canto. So after that, in the 11th canto, we have seen the Maushalya Leela, then we have seen Nimi Navagigendra Samvad, and we have also seen Uddhava Gita, the longest philosophical episode within Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 12th canto, we have seen a description of Kali Yuga, the description of Kalki Avatar, and Parikshit Maharaj's departure, and the Vedic division, and Markandeya Rishi's pastimes, and now glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, Suta Goswami gave a very quick summary of 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And while giving this quick summary, Suta Goswami highlighted certain topics only. That does not mean that other topics are less important. But while giving a summary, you cannot touch upon every single topic. So, very quick summary is given. Entire Bhagavatam is very important. So, in the 47th shloka, Sukadeva Goswami says, Suta Goswami says, Patitaha skhalitaha chartaha kshutvava vivasho grunan harayenama ityuchair muchyate sarva patakat. Patitaha skhalitaha chartaha means when a person is falling or tripping or slipping or in pain or while sneezing, if he takes the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, he will be relieved from all kinds of sins. If accidentally chanting the holy names of the Lord has such great potency, what to speak of intentionally chanting the holy names of the Lord? So, if incidental chanting gives so much of benefit, what to speak of intentional chanting? So, we have to eagerly chant the holy names of the Lord. And then finally, in the 48th shloka, Suta Goswami says, Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Anantaha Shrutanubhavo Vyasanam Hi Pumsam. ప్రవిశ్య చిత్తం విధునో అత్యశేషం యథాతమోర్కో భరమి బ్రహ్మ ఇవైతి వాత సంకీర్త్యమానో భగవాన్ అనంత. ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ వర్షిప్ అండ్ గ్లోరిఫై ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ అనంత ఆర్ కృష్ణ, సో వెన్ దట్ వెన్ దట్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఈస్ డన్ ప్రాపర్లీ అండ్ వెన్ వీ హియర్ దట్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ దెన్ దట్ కెన్ కంప్లీట్లీ రిమూవ్ అవర్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ అండ్ డార్క్నెస్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ అండ్ జస్ట్ లైక్ పవర్ఫుల్ విండ్ డ్రైవ్స్ అవే క్లౌడ్స్, సిమిలర్లీ కృష్ణ కథ డ్రైవ్స్ అవే ఆల్ అవర్ సిన్ఫుల్ ప్రొక్లివిటీస్. జస్ట్ లైక్ సన్ రిమూవ్స్ డార్క్నెస్, కృష్ణ కథ రిమూవ్స్ అవర్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్. అండ్ ఇన్ ద 49th శ్లోక సుత గోస్వామి సేస్ దీస్ ఆర్ గ్లోరియస్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం అండ్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కథ ఇన్ జనరల్. మృషాగిరస్తా హ్యసతీర్ అసత్కథ న కథ్యతే యద్ భగవాన్ అధోక్షజః తదేవ సత్యం తదుహైవ మంగళం తదేవ పుణ్యం భగవద్గుణోదయం. ఇన్ దిస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ శ్లోక సుత గోస్వామి సేస్ దట్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ వర్త్ హియరింగ్ మెటీరియలిస్టిక్ టాపిక్స్, వన్ హ్యాస్ టు హియర్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ టాపిక్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కృష్ణ. సో తదేవ సత్యం బికాస్ ఓన్లీ హిస్ టాపిక్స్ ఆర్ సత్యం ట్రూత్ఫుల్. తదుహైవ మంగళం ఓన్లీ కృష్ణ కథ కెన్ కాజ్ ది గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఆస్పీషియస్నెస్ టు ద ఎంటైర్ హ్యుమానిటీ. తదేవ పుణ్యం ఇట్స్ ది సుప్రీం పయటీ అండ్ భగవద్గుణోదయం. సో దోస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్స్ దాట్ ప్రజెంట్ ది క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ది సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఆర్ ది బెస్ట్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్స్. సో దెన్ ఇన్ ద లేటర్ శ్లోకాస్ హి సేస్ తదేవ రమ్యం రుచిరం నవం నవం తదేవ శశ్వన్ మనసో మహోత్సవం తదేవ శోకార్ణవ శోషణం దృఢాం యదుత్తమ శ్లోక యశోనుగీయతే తదేవ రమ్యం రుచిరం నవం నవం. సో దీస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కథ యాజ్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఆర్ వెరీ టేస్టీ అండ్ నెక్టేరియన్ రుచిరం నవం నవం. ద మోర్ యు హియర్ దీస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ ద మోర్ దే అపియర్ న్యూయర్ అండ్ న్యూయర్. రుచిరం నవం నవం తదేవ శశ్వన్ మనసో మహోత్సవం దే కాస్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఫెస్టివల్ టు ద మైండ్ పర్పచువల్లీ. దిస్ ఇస్ పర్పచువల్ ఫెస్టివల్ టు ద మైండ్ టు బి ఏబుల్ టు హియర్ కృష్ణ కథ అండ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కంటిన్యూస్లీ. దెన్ తదేవ శోకారణవ శోషణం నృణాం. సో కృష్ణ కథ కెన్ కంప్లీట్లీ వ్యాంక్విష్ ద ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ లామెంటేషన్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ద కండిషన్ సోల్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ మిజరీస్. సో యదుత్తమ శ్లోక యశోను గీయతే బికాస్ భాగవతం ఈస్ ఎ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకాస్ గ్లోరీస్. అండ్ ఫర్దర్ హి సేస్ నయద్వచశ్చిత్ర పదం హరేర్ యశో జగత్ పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కర్హిచిత్ తద్వాయసం తీర్థముషంతి మానస. ఇన్ ది శ్లోక సుత గోస్వామి బేసికల్లీ రిపీట్స్ ద శ్లోకాస్ దట్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ ద ఫస్ట్ క్యాంట్ ఆఫ్ ఫిఫ్త్ చాప్టర్. దేర్ ఆర్ మెటీరియలిస్టిక్ లిటరేచర్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ లైక్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ ప్లేసెస్ ఫర్ క్రోస్, బట్ దేర్ ఆర్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ అండ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లిటరేచర్స్ దే క్రియేట్ రివల్యూషన్ ఇన్ ద లైఫ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎంటైర్ హ్యూమన్ సొసైటీ. తద్వాగ్విసర్గో జనతాఘ విప్లవో యస్మిన్ ప్రతి శ్లోకమబద్ధవత్యపి నామాన్యనంతశ్చ యశోంకితాని యత్ శృణ్వంతి గాయంతి గృణంతి సాధవః తద్వాగ్విసర్గో జనతాఘ విప్లవో. సో ద డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ నామ రూప గుణ లీల అండ్ ద హోల్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెన్ క్రియేట్ రివల్యూషన్ ఇన్ ద మిస్డైరెక్టెడ్ సివిలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ కలియుగ. యస్మిన్ ప్రతి శ్లోకమబద్ధవత్యపి although spiritual literatures are not very perfectly composed, there could be some grammatical mistakes or they may not be having a lot of ornamentation of language etc, but still if they are describing Krishna's qualities they can create revolution in the misdirected civilization of human society. So in this chapter Suta Goswami also repeats the another shloka from the fifth chapter. నైష్కర్మ్యమప్యచ్యుత భావవర్జితం నశోభతే జ్ఞానమలం నిరంజనం. మీన్స్ నైష్కర్మ్య మీన్స్ నాన్ రియాక్షనరీ వర్క్, మీన్స్ యూ పెర్ఫార్మ్ సమ్ వర్క్ బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ డూ దట్ వర్క్ విత్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ యూ విల్ నాట్ ఎన్కర్ ఎనీ రియాక్షన్, బట్ దట్ డిటాచ్డ్ వర్క్ వితౌట్ డివోషన్ టు కృష్ణ విల్ నాట్ షైన్. నైష్కర్మ్యమపి అచ్యుత భావవర్జితం నశోభతే జ్ఞానమలం నిరంజనం. ఇఫ్ నైష్కర్మ్య means doing your prescribed duties without any attachment is not very much appreciated, or it will not shine without devotion to Krishna. What to speak of jnanam? So na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Even karma, jnana, or nishkama karma or jnana, they are not very much appreciated without bhakti, without devotion unto the Lord. Then in the 55th shloka, our Suta Goswami says, avismita krishna pada aravindayoha kshinotya bhadrani cha shamtanoti sattvasya shuddhim paramatma bhaktim jnanam cha vijnana viraga yuktam. So avismritihi krishna pada aravindayoha, we should never forget the pada aravinda, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Avismritihi krishna pada aravindayoha kshinotya bhadrani cha shamtanoti. So vismriti means forgetting. Smriti means remembering. Vismriti means forgetting. Avismriti means not forgetting. Means remembering. So if you remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna, then kshinoti abhadrani, all the inauspicious tendencies and all anarthas are completely vanquished. Then sattvasya shuddhim, our heart is completely purified. Paramatma bhaktim, we will also attain bhakti unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. Jnanam cha vijnana viraga yuktam, we will get jnana, knowledge, vijnana, realization, viraga means detachment. So all these things will manifest in the personality of a devotee who remembers the lotus feet of the Lord. So further, in the 56th to 58th shlokas, Suta Goswami glorifies the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he glorifies Shaunakadi rishis also. Etadvaha kathitam vipraha kathaniyoru karmanah mahatnyam vasudevasya sarvashubhavinashanam. Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami concludes his narration saying that etadvaha kathitam vipraha, O brahmanas, O Shavanakadi rishis, in this way I have narrated to you the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam. Kathaniyoru karmanah, so this Bhagavatam is kathaniya. It's worth describing. Uru karmanaha, it is a description of Krishna's qualities and Krishna's activities and Krishna's incarnations and Krishna's devotees. So kathaniya, this is the most, it's the worthiest topic for discussion. So mahatmyam vasudevasya, Bhagavatam is nothing but the greatness of Lord Vasudeva. Sarva ashubha vinashanam, all inauspiciousness is completely vanquished by hearing Krishna Katha. Then he gives Phalashruti. Suta Goswami gives Phalashruti. Ya etat shravayen nityam yamak shanamananyadhihi shlokam ekam tadartham va padam padarthameva va shraddhavan yo nusrudiyat punatyatmanameva saha. Ya etat shravayam, shravayen nityam, by hearing Krishna Katha, by hearing Bhagavatam Nityam on a regular basis, that's why Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya is mentioned. Yama Kshanam Ananyadhihi, without any deviation in the mind, Ananyadhihi we have to hear. Then Shlokam Ekam, even if you hear one shloka, Tadartham Va, even if you hear half shloka, Padam means even if you hear, Padam means one line of the shloka, Padartham Eva Va, even if you hear half of one line, then shraddhavan yo anushrunuyat, if you hear with faith, then punati atmanam eva saha, we will be completely purified, our self will become completely purified. So that is the phalashruti of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and he glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam in various ways and presents the uniqueness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although there are so many Vedic scriptures, not all of them glorify Krishna as much as Bhagavatam does. So Bhagavatam exclusively and repeatedly glorifies bhakti and Bhagavan and bhaktas. So other scriptures may not put so much of emphasis on bhakti yoga or directly glorify Krishna as much as Bhagavatam does. So that completes the 12th chapter. Now we will enter the 13th chapter, the last chapter of the last canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very amazing, in its contents because it describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam very beautifully. The first shloka of this chapter describes how great demigods glorify Krishna. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi Vedaihi Sangapadakramopanishadaihi Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyanavasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidursura Suraganaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha. Yam Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Maruts, all these great demigods and sages, they all glorify Krishna. Yam Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruta, Hastunvanti, Divyaihi, Stavaihi. In transcendental poetry, they praise Krishna. Vedaihi, Sangha, Padakrama, Upanishadaihi, Gayanti, Yam Samagaha. All the Vedic scriptures, in their beautiful poetry, they are glorifying Krishna only. The demigods are praising Krishna. The scriptures are praising Krishna. Then, dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginoho. All yogis, in their dhyanavastha, in their meditation, they are trying to absorb their minds in Krishna only. So, Krishna is the object of meditation of yogis. Krishna is the object of praise of all the devatas. And Krishna is described in all the Vedic literatures. So, Yasyantam Navidur Surasuraganaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha. One can never understand the glories, the extent of the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, whether they are suras or asuras, demigods or demons. The second shloka of this chapter says, this describes Kurmavatar. Prishthe Brahmyadamanda Mandaragiri Gravagra Kanduyanan Nidra Loha Kamathakrute Bhagavatahan Svashanilaha Pantuvaham Yat Samskara Kulanuvarta Navashad Velani Bhelam Bhasam Yata Yatamatandritam Jalanidher Nadyapi Vishramyati Prishthe Brahmyada Manda Mandaragiri. You can see that picture. This has a reference in Samudra Manthan in the 8th canto. When the demigods and demons were trying to churn the milk ocean with this mountain, Mandara mountain, then the mountain sank in the milk ocean. So the Supreme Lord Krishna expanded himself as Kurmavatar and entered the milk ocean and lifted this Mandara mountain and placed it on his back, and then demigods and demons started churning with that Mandara mountain. So when this Mandara mountain was rotating on the back of this huge, gigantic tortoise, Kurmavatar, then Kurmavatar, Lord Kurma, was feeling a sensation of scratching, itching sensation. When you have some itch and somebody scratches there, you feel little nice. So similarly, when Mandara mountain was rotating on the back of Kurma, then the Lord was feeling a scratching sensation and he was feeling sleepy. He was feeling so happy. And the Lord, Swasa, see, Yat Samskara Kulanu Vartana Vashad Vela Nibhetam Basam. So, Swasa Anila Pantuvaha means the Lord was breathing, Swasa Anila. So, when you are inhaling and exhaling, some Anila, some air comes out and goes in. So, when Lord Kurmavatar, who entered the ocean and he was inhaling and exhaling within the waters, the ocean waters are coming in and going out. So since then, the ocean waves were coming out and going in, coming out and going in. So because of this reason, so that Supreme Lord Kurma, who gave stability to Mandara mountain so that the demigods and demons can churn the milk ocean. So that Supreme Lord Kurma, may he also give stability to me. So may that Kurma protect all of us. So, may you be protected by the Lord, Lord Kurma's breathing. So, his inhalation and exhalation caused the oceanic waves to come in and go out. So, that is the second shloka. From the third shloka onwards, Suta Goswami describes the various Puranas. He gives the length of each Purana. Brahma Purana, you can see that list. Brahma Purana has 10,000 shlokas. Padma Purana has 55,000 shlokas. Vishnu Purana has 23,000 shlokas. Shiva Purana, 24,000. Bhagavata Purana, 18,000 shlokas only. Then Narada Purana, 25,000. Markandeya Purana, 9,000. Agni Purana, 15,000. Bhavishya Purana, 14,500. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, 18,000 shlokas. Then Linga Purana, 11,000. Varaha Purana, 24,000. Skanda Purana, 81,100. Vamana Purana, 10,000. Kurma Purana, 17,000. Matsya Purana, 14,000 shlokas. Garuda Purana, 19,000 shlokas. Brahmanda Purana, 12,000 shlokas. So, total 400,000 shlokas are there in these great Puranas. Of all these Puranas, Srimad Bhagavata Purana, that has 18,000 shlokas, is considered the supreme and the topmost of all Puranas. So, this Bhagavatam was first revealed by the Supreme Lord to Lord Brahma. And then, Brahma taught it to Narada, and then this descended in that lineage. Now, in the 11th and 12th shlokas, Suta Goswami says, Adi Madhyavasaneshu Vairagyakhyana Samyutam Harilila Katha Vrata Mrutananda Amrutananda Satsuram Sarva Vedanta Saram Yat Brahmatmaikatva Lakshanam Vastvadvitiyam Tannishtam Kaivalyaika Prayojanam. So in these two shlokas, the contents of Srimad Bhagavatam are very beautifully described. Adi Madhyavasaneshu Vairagya Akhyana Samyutam. From the beginning till the end and in the middle also, Bhagavatam presents, Bhagavatam emphasizes on detachment from this material world and devotion unto the Supreme Lord. Hari Leela Kathavrataha. Hari Leela means the Leelas, the pastimes of Lord Hari are described throughout from beginning to end. And Amrita Ananda Satsuram. So Bhagavatam presents Amrita Ananda, means immortal happiness to all the devotees. The word Amrita and Suram. So Satsuram means devotees who are like demigods. And Amrita Ananda means the bliss is compared to Amrita. So there is a significance in this line. In the Samudra Manthan episode, the Supreme Lord appeared in the form of a very beautiful woman, Mohini Murti. And he took this Amrita nectar pot and distributed all that Amrita to Suras, means demigods. And he did not give anything to the demons. Because he knows that these demoniac people don't have the right qualification to drink this nectar. They are already envious and destructive in their nature. So if they become very powerful by drinking this Amrita, they will create destruction. They will create a lot of disturbance in this universe. So I should not be giving this nectar to the demons. So he gave, she gave, our Mohini Murti gave nectar only to the demigods. Similarly, Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini Murti, and just as Mohini Murti gives nectar only to the demigods, Bhagavatam also reveals its inner meanings to sincere devotees who approach Bhagavatam for the right shelter, in the right mood. Sometimes some readers of Bhagavatam may use Bhagavatam to become popular. Some people may use Bhagavatam and give lectures on Bhagavatam to earn money. And some other people may use Bhagavatam in some other purpose. Or some people may just study Bhagavatam in a philosophical or intellectual manner to get updated with more and more information, or to have some arguments with other people just to get more knowledge. But Bhagavatam should be worshipped, and one should take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one should imbibe the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam and apply in one's own life. And by studying Bhagavatam, we should get more inspiration to render selfless service to the Supreme Lord and His devotees. And we should develop that Vaishnava qualities as exhibited by all these great souls, like Parikshit Maharaj's humility and tolerance, then Prahlad Maharaj's absorption in Krishna in all kinds of circumstances, Kunti Maharani's dedication to Krishna, then Ambarish Maharaj's dependence on Krishna, then Bhishma Dev's absorption in Krishna. And although several devotees which are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, they underwent a lot of difficulties apparently, they were so absorbed in Krishna, their faith on Krishna did not get slackened. Chitraketu Maharaj, Vritrasur, then Draupadi, Arjuna, Uddhava, and the Vrajavasis, and the gopis of Vrindavan. So there are examples of several devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam who showed, who depicted such great examples of devotional service unto Krishna. So we need to take inspiration from them and imbibe, they follow in their footsteps and imbibe their mood and try to perform bhakti unto Krishna. That's the purpose of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should also share the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam with other people and inspire them also to become devotees of Krishna. So that should be the attitude in approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. But if somebody studies Srimad Bhagavatam just to become scholar or just to become popular, just to earn name, fame and money, or just to do some research and then and present oneself to be a scholar. So that's not the purpose. The purpose is to develop inspiration to love Krishna and serve Krishna. So, Sarva Vedanta Saram Yat Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta. And Brahmatmaikatva Lakshanam. So, devotional service is the essential principle that is emphasized in Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly. Exclusive devotional service. If one gifts this Srimad Bhagavatam on Bhadra Purnima or places Bhagavatam on a golden throne, one can attain transcendental destination as promised in the 13th shloka. In the 14th shloka, Rajante Tavadanyani Puranani Satam Gane Yavad Bhagavatam Naiva Shruyate Amrita Sagaram Rajante Tavadanyani. The other scriptures or other Puranas shine only till Bhagavatam enters that arena. So other Puranas shine forth only as long as the great ocean of nectar Bhagavatam is not heard. So once when hears Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll understand, oh, other Puranas are not as great as Srimad Bhagavatam, and we'll understand it. So next, because Vyasadeva has written so many other Puranas and various other scriptures, but he was not satisfied. But when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he was completely satisfied. Bhagavatam is such a book that gave complete satisfaction to its author. So this is author's recommendation to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Right in the second shloka only, it is said, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Parairishvaraha Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyatetra Krutibhi Susrushubhistakshanat. So Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite. Bhagavatam is composed by Mahamuni Vyasadev and Kimvaparair Ishvaraha. Kimvaparair, what is the necessity for any other scripture if you take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam? And Ishvaraha Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyate Atra Krutibhis Susrushubhistakshanat. If one sincerely hears Srimad Bhagavatam, that Supreme Lord Krishna will descend into the heart of such a sincere reader and hearer, and he will be happy to be captivated and captured within the loving heart of such a sincere devotee. So Bhagavatam can invoke Krishna's presence and make one feel Krishna's presence within one's heart if one sincerely hears it. Krishna will not come into anyone's heart if that person's heart is not filled with prema, love for Krishna. So, this shloka means that by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, sincerely we will develop love for Krishna. Then Krishna will enter our heart. And he would like to be captivated in that heart. 15th shloka says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadra Samrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Dratihi Kvachit. So, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta. Then Shri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadra Samrita Triptasya. One who derives satisfaction from the Rasamrita. Rasa Amrita Triptasya. Tripti means satisfaction. Rasa means all the mellows in relationship with the Lord. Amrita means nectar. So once you get accustomed to tasting the nectar of Bhagavatam narrations and you are satisfied with them, you will not look anywhere else. So, nanyatrasyadratihikvachit. Such a person who tasted Srimad Bhagavatam will not look for nectar anywhere else. So, Bhagavatam has that complete description of nectarian pastimes of Krishna. Next, Nimnaganam yatha ganga, devanam achyuto yatha, vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, purananam idam tatha, Nimnaganam yatha ganga. So of all the rivers, Ganga is considered the topmost. Devanam achyuto yatha, of all the worshipable personalities, Lord Achyuta is considered the supreme. And Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu, of all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shambhu, means Lord Shiva, is considered the supreme Vaishnava. Then Purananam idam tatha, of all the Puranas, this Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the supreme. Next, 18th shloka describes the glories of Bhagavatam further. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Babalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyameka Babalam Gnanam Param Giyate Tatra Gnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmya Mahavishkritam Tat Shrinvan Supathan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyennaraha Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Babalam. Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, Bhagavatam is extremely dear to all Vaishnavas. Yasmin Paramahamsyameka Mamalam, means this Bhagavatam is understandable by great Paramahamsas. Jnanam Param Giyate, so Bhagavatam propounds the highest spotless spiritual knowledge. Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmyam Avishkritam, Bhagavatam is inaugurating or launching or recommending Naishkarmya. Naishkarmya means non-reactionary work. But not only Naishkarmya. We have already seen Naishkarmya Mapyachyuta Bhavavarjitam. So this Naishkarmya is accompanied by Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmya Mavishkritam. Means Bhagavatam propounds that kind of work which will not give you any reactions, and that kind of work that is performed with pure devotion unto Krishna, and that results in jnana and vairagya. Means there is karma also, there is jnana also, there is vairagya also, but all these are based on bhakti. So you should have devotion unto Krishna, and with that devotion you perform service. The real naishkarmya is basically bhakti. And when you have that pure bhakti and render pure devotional service unto Krishna, knowledge and renunciation will automatically follow. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam tat shrinvan, we have to hear Bhagavatam. Supathan, we have to recite Bhagavatam. Study Bhagavatam. Tat shrinvan supathan vicharana paro, we should also contemplate on Srimad Bhagavatam. Thoughtfully introspect on the various principles and pastimes and characters of Srimad Bhagavatam, shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktya, we have to do all this with devotion. Vimuchye naravaha, then the sincere reader will be relieved from this material existence. Then the 19th shloka describes the parampara of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kasmayena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipa pura tadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanatha bhagavad rataya karunyata tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amritam satyam param dhimahi. The first shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam began with satyam param dhimahi, meditation on the absolute truth. Now we are in the last chapter, the last shloka, one of the last shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Again Bhagavatam is ending with satyam param dhimahi, meditation on the absolute truth. Kasmai yena vibhasito yamatulo Jnana Pradipa Pura. This knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam was given by the Supreme Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma in the beginning of creation. And Tadrupena cha Naradaya Munaye, in the form of Brahma, Krishna only spoke this Bhagavatam to Narada Muni. And in the form of Narada Muni, he spoke this Bhagavatam to Vyasadeva. In the form of Vyasadeva, Krishna only spoke this Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami. In the form of Sukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva has spoken this, Krishna has spoken this Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So, and Suta Goswami. So, this is the parampara. Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyasa, Vyasa spoke to Shuka, Shuka spoke to Parikshit and Suta Goswami is speaking to Naimisharanya sages. So whoever speaks Srimad Bhagavatam in this parampara, it is Krishna who is speaking through this transcendental vaya media of this glorious parampara. So whether Krishna speaks or Brahma speaks or Narada speaks or Vyasa speaks or Sukadeva Goswami speaks or Suta Goswami speaks, it is Krishna who is speaking through this transcendental parampara, this transparent parampara. So the transcendental teachings of Krishna are transparently transmitted by this parampara for our transformation to mitigate our tribulations. So when the transparency in these teachings are maintained, then there is transformation. If somebody is concocting something and presenting, then he is not exactly representing the parampara. If one is as it is presenting the essence of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam as descending in this parampara, then his words are as good as Krishna's words. So that's why this sloka repeatedly says that in the form of Vyasadeva he spoke to Sukadeva Goswami, in the form of Narada Muni he spoke to Vyasadeva, in the form of Brahma he spoke to Narada Muni. Basically, Krishna is speaking through this parampara. So, tat shrinvan supathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchye naraha. And one needs to study Bhagavatam and contemplate on Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, finally, the last shloka says, nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukha shabanam namami harim tam namami harim param. So nama sankirtanam yasya, if one performs nama sankirtan of Krishna, means chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna, sarva papa pranashanam, all the papas, all the sinful reactions and sinful proclivities are completely destroyed. We have seen in the episode of Ajamil. So pranamo dukkha shamanam, just by offering pranams or offering obeisances unto Krishna, dukkha shamanam, all our distress is destroyed. Tam namami harim param, I offer my obeisances unto that Supreme Lord Hari, whose sankirtan can completely purify us. So in this way, Suta Goswami concluded his narration of Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya, and we will conclude our series of Bhagavata Pravaha, which we have been discussing in the last 70 episodes. Today is the last episode. So thank you all very much for your wonderful participation in this Bhagavata Pravaha series. So discussing Krishna's glories is the most exciting and most worthy engagement for the entire humanity. As this shloka says, vyamoha prashamaushadham nimano vritti pravrityaushadham daityendrartika raushadham tribhuvane sanjeevanai kaushadham bhaktatyanta hitaushadham bhavabhaya pradhvamsanai kaushadham shreyah praptika raushadham pibamana sri krishna divyaushadham. So the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna are considered to be divya aushadha, very transcendental medicine for the disease of this material existence. Vyamoha prasham aushadham. So all the illusions are completely dispelled by taking this medicine of Krishna katha. Munimano vritti pravritti aushadham. This aushadha, this medicine of Krishna katha can inspire thoughtful people also to make bhakti as their occupation, bhakti as their duty. Munimano vritti pravritti aushadham daityendrartika raushadham tribhuvane sanjeevanaikaushadham. So taking shelter of Krishna katha can dispel all enemies and subdue all demoniac people and demoniac tendencies, and it acts like sanjeevani mantra that can revive unconscious people. Basically, till we come to the process of rendering pure devotional service, our senses are not actually activated. We need the Sanjeevani mantra of Krishna Katha and Srimad Bhagavatam to awaken our spiritual senses, to engage them in their actual purpose, in the right utility. So, Munimano vritti pravrityaushadham daityendrartika raushadham tribhuvane sanjeevanaikaushadham bhaktatyanta hitaushadham bhakta atyanta hita aushadham. this medicine of Krishna Katha can cause the greatest benefit to all the devotees of Krishna. So in this way, Krishna Katha is glorified. Bhakta atyanta hitaushadham bhava bhaya pradhamsanaikaushadham means Krishna Katha can completely vanquish all the fears of material existence. Shreyaha praptika raushadham pibhavana Sri Krishna divyaushadham. If you desire highest auspiciousness in your life, pibhamanaha, oh mind, oh material mind, oh distracted mind, please drink the nectar of Krishna Katha. Please drink the aushadha, medicine of Krishna Katha, and cure your material disease. So it's our great fortune to have access to the Srimad Bhagavatam knowledge in the form of Srila Prabhupada's commentary. So we are very grateful to all the acharyas and especially Srila Prabhupada, who has presented this Srimad Bhagavatam in English language and give access to the whole world to take advantage of this divine message of Bhakti Yoga as presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I conclude this whole Bhagavat Pravaha series. I thank all of you for your wonderful participation, and I seek blessings from all the devotees who are participating in this course, and we'll conclude here. Thank you all very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.